Hey guys, welcome to another fun episode of View from the Cheap Seats. We are coming off a really great week filled with sports and comedy for us. We guest hosted Jim Rome's radio show twice this week, twice last week. The music episode was last week.
Oh, and I'm so great. End of the month. If you like us on Rome, listen to us on July 27th, 29th, and 30th. August 3rd and August 5th, we'll be guest hosting Rome Show, so check us out on that. It's always fun.
It's a blast. We got a killer guest today as the Stanley Cup Finals wrapped up this week. We'll talk hockey with Tony Luftman. He is an NHL Network analyst.
Yeah, he's an anchor on the NHL Network, and he breaks it down so well for us why Tampa Bay won, what the Canadians did, how they punched above their weight, and as a team effort sort of maxed out, as it were, as well as on Quick Hits, we'll talk about
Michael Strahan's crazy ex-wife.
We'll talk about why Monty Williams is such a great coach and why he's rooting, Tony's rooting for him, and so much more. We laugh. We have a great time.
Keith Hernandez, the craziest Keith Hernandez story
ever. You want to stick around for that. And then later on the show, we've got a great story about Kris Kristofferson. Since we're talking hockey, and one of the greatest things about hockey is that fights can happen. Kris Kristofferson remembers the time that he almost got into a fight with Toby Keith, and he shut that dude up.
He shut the door.
And we're going to get a voicemail from him, so we'll check that out later. But first, Jay,
we're talking about the All-Star Game. Baseball's All-Star Game right around the corner.
And next Tuesday is when it comes down.
And we have issues with the way they put together the starting lineup.
Well, the voting. And to me,
I always vote Democrat. I just go straight Democrat
straight
when I'm voting
the ticket,
in an All-Star game.
And they know what I'm doing. But no, it is ridiculous. It is more of a popularity contest than a high school student government election for senior class president. Okay,
it is.
Nobody's really looking at your record or stances on anything. Is she popular? She gets my vote.
Yeah.
Some people just vote for the annoying popular kids just to get them out of the social rotation and into governmental busy work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of genius.
It is kind of brilliant to pull them out of the circuit.
MLB All-Star voting is exactly the same thing. All right. The guys who should be starting usually don't. A lot of times they don't. And fan favorites, no matter how they played in the first half of the year, they're going to get voted in.
Anthony Rizzo, is he number one? Highest vote getter at this point?
No, maybe last week he was for a while. At first base last week, hitting .248 with 10 home runs and 32 RBIs. That is not great.
If you're a Cubs fan, obviously you love Rizzo. You love what he did for your team. You will never forget the fact that he caught the ball when you won your first World Series in over 100
All right,
years.
But he shouldn't be in the top three vote getters. By the way, the Cubs lost 12 in a row. Popularity contest. That was it like a week before the thing.
Yeah,
I think the starters. This is what I propose: the starters and the pitchers should be selected by coaches and sports writers. Let them select the starters,
like the NBA,
and then let the next top vote getters from the fans make the team. By the way,
it doesn't matter if you start the All-Star game.
That's right. This way, great play in the first half of the season is rewarded, not just popularity.
People don't remember. It's not like a first team, second team, third team, you know, All-American situation.
No.
You make the All-Star team, so you don't play in the first three innings. If you play in the
sixth inning and you get the hit that wins the game, that's what people are going to remember. Like, sometimes starters don't have a chance to win the game at the end of the game.
That's right.
Because they're being subbed out for people.
Or if you're a pitcher, you come and you pitch the first three innings and you shut them down, great, but you still lose by six runs.
So I ask you, and I love the guy, Fernando Tatis Jr., who made an unbelievable catch yesterday or the other day.
Kind of jumped out of his shoes.
He jumped and then in the air jumped from the jump, a double jump. That's like video game stuff. He's the best. He's having a great year this year and, of course, deserves to be on the All-Star team. Let's say he has a bad year coming up. Do you think he's not going to get voted on the All-Star team?
He's the most popular,
right?
Most visible.
Your son loves him.
He was so popular that he made it exciting to go to San Diego, and he wasn't even in the game.
Right.
Like all of the marketing, all of everything is about him.
Shohei Ohtani is the greatest. To me, he is the story of the MLB season, and he should be the play. He's it. He's the guy. I know he plays down in Los Angeles. It plays for the Angels, which is like the witness protection program if you want to go and get
he
lost.
He should be the leading vote getter, period.
He should. He just hit his 32nd home run this week.
He should be pitching in this game. He should be allowed to sing the national anthem.
He should be allowed to sing the Japan's national anthem.
Let him do God Bless America for God's sake.
Let him call an inning. Let him ride in on a goddamn Clydesdale. I don't care.
I don't think we've ever seen a talent like this kid.
You may never see. And we talked to, on we were doing Rome show this week, a baseball insider who said, maybe he's not maybe the best pitcher because he lacks control, but he throws it 100 miles an hour. He throws it so hard. He is a still a good pitcher. He should be able to do both. Mm-hmm. It, to me, is amazing. And I think sports writers would get that more than, say, a Pittsburgh Pirates fan or a Washington Nationals fan.
I mean, aren't the Astros fans, at the, by the same token, Astros players aren't getting the votes?
So four Astros got voted onto the team. Four Astros, but they're not starting.
Right.
Four Toronto Blue Jays got voted on the team. Three of them are starting. Okay. The Astros have, do they have the best record?
Second best record in the American League
behind
right now.
Boston.
Behind
right?
Boston. But they're leading their division.
And they're leading their division and they won a bunch in a row. And so Dusty Baker was like complaining that, oh, people, because they hate the Astros, because there's still this stigma that the Astros are cheaters, that the rest of the people aren't voting for them. Like other teams' fan bases aren't voting for Astros the way they would for a Shohei Ohtani.
So here's my question. If it, they're in a game and let's say Walker Buehler's pitching for the National League.
And let's say Walker Buehler's pitching and let's say
Altuve's up to the plate.
And he throws at his head. Because I don't know if he's gonna get, are they playing an interleague game this year? I don't know. And he throws at his head. Do you think the other American League teams
will have
out.
His back?
No, no, I don't. I wouldn't go out. You handle it on your own, little munchkin. That's what they'd say. So I think, you know, as much as I don't like Dusty Baker and as much as I do think the Astros are cheaters, I don't dislike Dusty Baker. I don't like what he's saying here. He's trying to get out in front of it. Again, throw anything out there.
Fighting it is not the right answer. No. I think you could say, hey, these guys are trying their best. I know the stigma that exists out there. I want to get over that hump.
So we'll do whatever it takes to get over that.
To get you over that and get you back on our side.
So fighting everybody is not the answer. And by the way, you did get four people into the All-Star game. And they may make the best contributions on the whole.
We don't know.
We don't know.
Just be grateful for that.
Just be happy for that. Exactly. Be happy you got an invite. You know what I'm happy about? Tony Luffman on the other side of this break.
Boom.
Patreon fans, join our Patreon. You can look up Sklar Brothers. Patreon.com, look up Sklar Brothers. We got a little extra thing. Tony Luffman, who calls... He's worked for the Portland Trailblazers. He worked for the LA Lakers. He works for NHL Network. He's worked for MLB Network. We're going to ask him what is his favorite sport and why. Only you can get that on Patreon. It's the only place you can get new
He's
episodes
a phenomenal
of Cheap Seats.
Guest.
He's on the other side of this break. We'll be right back after this.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. This dude, man, I love talking to him about anything.
Talk about right place, right time. This is the week to have him on. We're so excited because the Stanley Cup Finals finished up last night as this happens. And then as it drops on Friday, it'll be two nights ago. But we're, of course, talking about the great Tony Luffman of NHL Network. Dude, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
I'm so happy to be on with you guys again. To repeat is a big deal. Bolts fans can tell you that. This is my second appearance with the Sklars.
Yes,
I know
hell yes.
What it feels like. It's a huge achievement.
I think you should be allowed to punch anyone in the face who said lightning strikes twice. That I don't want to see that in press or anywhere, dude. It's ridiculous.
Oh, I love Kenny Albert. I love the guy. I thought it was a good line.
I
Not
love
everybody
Kenny
agrees.
I love Kenny Albert too. And Kenny Albert can do no wrong in my eyes. That's fine. I know. But like lightning strikes twice. I don't want to hear it. I watched that game, the final game, and here are my thoughts, and you tell me if I'm off base, all right? I watched it, and I was like, is Montreal killing a 20-minute penalty in the first period? Because that's what it felt like. They're like, just do everything we can.
Get it out of the zone. Get it out of the zone.
It felt like they were on a 5-on-3, and they're just trying to get it out of the zone.
It feels like when you're a dad, and like all three of your kids who are under 8 are home, and you're just like... Just don't let them die. Just don't let them die. Don't
right?
let them injure themselves.
Were you surprised that they didn't come out with their hair? There was like a 3-minute stretch in the third period near the end where the Canadians put some pressure on and the puck was in the bolt zone and you felt like, okay, they're putting pressure on, but why didn't they come out? The game started like that.
They knew what they were up against in terms of manpower. There's a reason that they were the last seed in their conference. Mm-hmm. They were nowhere near as talented as Tampa. and they knew that.
Right.
And it was clear. So they had to play a really conservative game. Mm-hmm. And it was like when I was on with you guys on Rome, right. I said it wouldn't be a sweep, but they would have to take a page out of the Islanders' playbook. Mm-hmm. The right. Islanders lost game 7 of the semifinal, and they played so conservatively.
Yeah.
They played for 50-50 shifts. Mm-hmm. Now, it's one thing to come out and be outshot like 11-1. It did have the feel, I like the way you described that, of them trying to kill a 20-minute penalty. They had to be a counterpuncher, and they were in there against Muhammad Ali.
Right.
This Tampa team is one of the best teams I've ever seen. I've been watching hockey since 1980 in the Miracle on Ice when mm-hmm. I was a very little boy. Mm-hmm. They're as good a team as I've seen in the NHL. If you look at the 2-year stretch and the regular season that they had where they got knocked out in the first round by Columbus, I mean, this is 5 out of 7 years they've made at least the Final Four. What John Cooper's done is amazing.
It just, it's hard to, now they were, there was only one other team that in this century that won back-to-back cups, am I right? And we're talking, did Pittsburgh do it?
The Penguins.
16-17 Penguins. So you're, and then Detroit did it before that. What teams are we talking about here? Detroit
Edmonton
did it for that.
Oilers.
97-98.
Right.
Detroit, 91-92 Pitt.
Yep.
Edmonton won 4 in 5 years. So they had back-to-backs twice, and they had in 86 a little separation there where a rookie goalie named Patrick Waugh led the Canadiens to the cup. The Islanders won four straight
in,
and now, in the 80s.
And then you go back to the Canadiens. And
they won like 6 out of 8 when Ken Dryden was their goalie. It was just utter dominance.
Utter
and
dominance.
56-60 was the Leafs,
right.
I want to say.
Right.
And that's the only stretch of 5 in a row.
So what are we talking about? We're putting them in the context of historically great teams.
And
and that's exactly, we're talking about, I mean, that late 90s Red Wings team. We had Darren McCarty on our podcast. Fantastic. What a great guest that guy is. But he talked about it. And he, you know what he said, which was so interesting, because there was a moment in that game 5 where I thought right before Tampa Bay scored, I was like, if the Canadiens can keep this 0-0 going into the third period, then you kind of never know. Because McCarty said you need the next man to step up. You need puck luck, which, you know, just a weird bounce. If it's 0, again, did we expect the closeout game to be 1-0? I mean, you want to see like a 5-4 crazy game, 1-0. But I mean, if they got a little bit of a puck luck, they could have. But once Tampa Bay scored, I was like, it feels like it's 10-0, right?
I compared this team, the Montreal Canadiens, to Oklahoma football when Barry Switzer was the coach and they ran the wishbone.
Mm-hmm.
When they were ahead,
very good.
It was beautiful. They would just grind the clock. When they were behind, you would wince. You'd be like, there's
How
no chance.
Yeah.
They're down by 7, even a 1-possession game. To me, the biggest factor is this. The goalie for Tampa, and he's in his mid-20s, Kevin Weeks was sitting to my left last night. He said, I believe he'll go down as one of the 5 best goalies to ever play hockey.
That's amazing.
So in 5 straight clinching wins, mm-hmm. he's given up 0 goals.
Amazing.
I agree with you that last night's score was surprising. Not that there was a 0 for Montreal, because that's now 5 straight. Last year's cup final mm-hmm. against Dallas, mm-hmm. and then each round this year, the clincher, he's given up 0 goals. He's so special. His attitude's extraordinary. It's the 3rd cup final he's been in. He came in relief in 2015 as a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
And he started a game. This guy has, the cliche is ice water in his veins.
Right.
Beyond that, mm-hmm. just the lowest pulse and such a hard worker. He deserves to play the way he does. And that's why everybody on that team says they have so much confidence, because they have Vasi between the pipes.
He does.
He made one save, and I want to say it was, again, I think it was 0-0, and it might have been Cole Caulfield on the right. shooting across the goal from the right side, and he stuck out his, and it wasn't a pad save, it wasn't a glove save, he stuck out his stick hand and hit it with like the knob of the stick or something. It was going in the goal. He basically blocked it with the smallest bit of material he had as a goalie, and you say, you say to yourself, you're like, well, that's it's his night.
It's his world.
Right.
The guy is right. The best. Every goalie and every hockey person will tell you he's the best goalie in the world. Now, the Vezina Trophy this year went to Marc-Andre Fleury, 37 years old. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a lifetime achievement award.
Right.
He's the no one has taken more games to be nominated for the Vezina. And what he did this year, his statistics were tremendous. But if you ask anyone in hockey who's the best goalie in the world,
it's Vasilevsky.
I'm telling you 100% say Andrei Vasilevsky.
Yeah, he just was amazing. And did you see Kucherov, drunk Kucherov after the
shirtless?
Shirtless.
Like, are you literally become a Florida man?
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding?
They were acting like they won the Stanley Cup just winning. Are you kidding me? That I was
if he had it to do over, I think 86 would do that differently.
Sure.
Are you kidding me? Is the new what a country?
Yeah,
are you kidding me? What a country. It was like,
where is Yakov Smirnoff, by the
he's
way?
He's in Branson, Missouri, making money. He's
you didn't
making,
love that you guy. You remember it wrong, Tony. I love you.
Let's correct what you said. I remember that guy. I remember that guy and I love that guy are two different things.
Do you want marriage advice? Because he's giving that out.
In Branson.
So if you want Yakov Smirnoff to break down
your marriage.
I love being on with you guys. I love it.
In a funny way. But I was like, it's so funny. Like, remember when Ovechkin won the cup?
And he was just like in a fountain. Just like, dude, you're in a fountain
and they
outside
like,
of
and
like
they went,
the Nationals game.
Yeah, and they went to the Nats game, and like they're hanging out in the box like long after everybody thought they were, like, you know, Tom Brady or someone like goes to another team's game, and like he's gone in the sixth inning. You know, like he knows if I stick around too long, it's just going to be a mob scene. Like they're hanging out like 2 hours after the game's over. They're still drinking in the box. I mean, that's why you love hockey, because I feel like
Drunk Hall,
man. These guys are the closest to regular people that you will find. Am I right?
As athletes.
The closest to regular people with one exception and one very important exception. Last night, Alex Killorn, his post-game interview, he talked about his fibula being broken, getting a rod put in his leg, secret surgery, and then we watched him warm up for, I believe it was game four. And I thought to myself, the way he said it matter-of-factly, that's one thing.
Yeah.
That's just a hockey player. Two, who does that?
Yeah.
The answer is hockey players.
Hockey players.
These guys are... You're right. The most normal, down-to-earth people on earth.
But
the
there's
one
supermen.
Difference is
they're supermen.
Their toughness.
Yeah.
And I turned to Brian Lawton, who I was watching the game with. He was the first American to go first overall in the draft in 1983.
Yeah.
And he said, without batting an eyelash, he said, when Josh Anderson went careening into the goal with 16 minutes left.
Oh, that was scary.
And hit his back. It was very scary.
Scary.
The spine's back there.
Yeah.
The pipe doesn't give. I mean, the goal is
very... The goal comes
Steven
off.
Steven Stamkos broke his leg on the goal back in 2013 or 14.
That's right.
So he leaves the bench area and goes down the tunnel, and Lotz said
he'll be back.
And I thought to myself, he was just in a car crash. That's how hard that was.
That's right.
And he was.
He
Josh
was.
Josh Anderson's right back out there.
That to me was
unreal.
That to me was the... That play... To me, showed me that was endemic of the entire series. So he gets the puck. He's on somewhat of a breakaway. I don't know who was defending him from the Lightning, but he closed him out so fast, and without hooking him, without slashing him, without a
trading
penalty, without tripping him, he put so much pressure on him that the shot couldn't get off with what he wanted. Of course, Vasilevsky
makes the
incredible save.
Of course.
And he goes careening into the goal. And I was like, this one play tells you what the whole series was like. You maybe have a shot, but then that shot gets closed down really closely and you have no shot.
They needed breakaways. They needed puck luck. I agree with McCarty 100%. By the way, what an awesome guest to have. What a great player he was to watch.
Oh, yeah.
I had a conversation with Lindy Ruff in the 2014 Olympics. The U.S. played Canada. Mm-hmm. The final score was 1-0. Lindy Ruff was an assistant coach. Mike Babcock was the head coach.
Jamie Benn
scored the only goal.
Yep.
Sochi, Russia. I got up at 7 a.m. in L.A. to watch this. Uh-huh. And it was the most lopsided 1-0 game ever. Right. And I asked Lindy Ruff when I met him sometime later. I want to say it was at an All-Star game. I said, I know you were tracking on the bench the defensive statistics. And I said, how many grade A chances, which is hockey speak for a really good scoring chance,
right?
How many grade A chances did Team USA have? And he said, I want to say it was one,
uh-huh,
but it may not have been
one. One.
Right.
So if you're Montreal going into last night,
great analogy.
You needed grade A chances. And I want to say that was kind of, but the point you made is exactly the issue. What looked like a really promising chance was nullified because Tampa got back there.
So
and I
fast.
Want to say it was Eric Chernak beautifully defended without committing a penalty.
Amazing.
I mean, Chernak's one of the guys that in order to try to keep the core together when they do the expansion draft, I'm hearing more and more people say that Chernak would be the guy they will probably try to deal Tyler Johnson to the new team.
Yeah.
The Kraken, he'll be their choice because he's a Spokane kid, and that would be phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But Chernak and a first-round pick, that puts in perspective the depth that they have, that they could say goodbye to a Chernak, and still people think they're going to three-peat. In Vegas right now, I think they're the third overall favorite to win it again next year.
I think so.
In hindsight, 2020, would it have been a better series maybe if Vegas made it there to the finals?
It would have been more competitive.
Right.
That's not to take anything away from Montreal. They played their hearts out.
They did.
I got choked up. Mm-hmm. My favorite moment of this year's Stanley Cup final happened, and I don't know about you guys, but I admire, we all talk for a living. You guys do it in a hilarious way, and that's why we love you. Mm-hmm. There was a serious moment where the Montreal Canadiens, their two biggest names, Carey Price and Shea Weber, are being interviewed after.
Yeah.
And Carey Price is asked, what was the difference in the series? Mm-hmm. That's a hard question.
That's a tough question.
He's been in the league 14 years.
Yep.
Shea Weber's been in the league 16 years. Mm-hmm. They've both made $1 zillion.
Right.
This is not about money. And Carey Price said, I needed to be better earlier in the series, which to take responsibility that way
huge.
Is so admirable.
Huge.
Immediately. Not a second of a pause, not a beat passes. And Shea Weber says, without looking at Carey right next to him, he leans into the mic and says, I don't agree with that at all. We needed to be better in front of Carey.
There it is.
Awesome.
And I was like,
awesome.
What a team.
Yeah.
They maxed out.
Yeah, they maxed out.
I'm built like Gandhi. I can't lift weights, but I know what it is to max out.
Yeah.
The Montreal Canadiens maxed out.
Yeah, they did.
They absolutely could not have done better than they did. They made it to the Cup final. And they were the 18th or 19th best team based on regular season
record
winning points.
Yep. Wow.
That's an amazing achievement.
Really, that's why that's why hockey is so great. And that's why I know you love covering hockey. And I love the sort of the nuts and bolts of it, that you get a goaltender to stand on his head, a la Jonathan Quick, a la Carey Price,
a la the Blues,
a la Jordan Binnington. You get a goaltender to stand on his head and suddenly you've got a shot. It's not that way in basketball. It's not that way in you have
college football.
Yeah, it just isn't. I mean, I guess a quarterback can help you, but it's not this is the only sport. It's so egalitarian in that way, where a team like Montreal, like the Montreal Canadiens of the NBA, don't make it to the NBA Finals.
Right. I'll tell you who feels the exact same way all of us do. Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
Now, if
he loves hockey. He loves hockey.
Yeah, he was great.
I mean, loves it and knows it well.
Yes.
We interviewed him before Game 7, St. Louis and Boston.
I remember it. It was awesome. Great
the
interview.
The guy knew Zdeno Chara's age.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't know Zdeno Chara's age. It's my job to know everything. Charles Barkley led the dream team in scoring. He has other stuff going on.
Yeah, he's like
inside
Erner,
the NBA.
I love that Zdeno Chara.
He's terrible.
The dude's 7'4". I love Zdeno. He could dunk a hockey puck, Erna. He's terrible, Erna. He's like James Harden without the beard, Erna.
Okay.
You're like, what? What are you saying, Charles? But he does know it.
He knows it.
It's like Zdeno Chara is probably 6'10" in his skates. Is that that is? He is so tough.
I saw him dunk a tennis ball, Erna.
And Shaq's like, Mr.
Erna has to duck when he go in the locker room.
He got an Erna. They don't make locker room big enough for Zdeno and Chara.
You knew he's.
And then there's a moment where you're like, Ernie's not on this panel, Chuck.
Ernie's in Atlanta. You're in St. Louis, God. Erna.
You're talking.
Erna,
I can't breathe. I'm laughing so hard. I cannot breathe.
I mean, but he is great. But what you love about him is that he tells it like it is, and he'll tell you. Charles Barkley will tell you that hockey is more exciting because you don't know who's going to win. Now,
that's what he said.
This is a good transition because you said. I mean, I'm looking at Tampa Bay, and I'm like, fine, you might lose a player or two. But, like,
who beats them next year?
Maybe the Islanders. I'd like to see it because I'm just a sucker for old-school franchises. I'm the first to say that I don't like the Tampas of this world, even though they're a great team and a great organization, a great coach. I don't like that Tampa as a city gets a champion. I would much rather Winnipeg get the champion. You know what I mean?
I hear you. The history of Montreal, the history of the original six franchises, the passion for hockey in Canada is unreal. I talked earlier about the 2014 Olympics. In 2010, it was in Vancouver.
Right.
So this is a once in a life. I read Mike Babcock's book. It's called Leave No Doubt. It's so good. Mm. Babcock talked about this being a once in a lifetime opportunity on our soil, playing our game.
Yep.
Against the world.
Yep.
They lost to Team USA in pool play. They played Team USA again in the gold medal game. Mm-hmm. Long story short, I go to the Hockey Hall of Fame and they have Sidney Crosby's puck there and
yep.
other memorabilia. And he had the golden goal. We all remember.
Sure.
There's when you go to a museum, they have those little where the display is. There's the glass. There's the thing behind the glass. And then there's the little thing
yeah.
down below that has the info.
Right.
The info on the thing, the little plaque said, between 80 and 90% of Canadian televisions were tuned in to this game.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
So, doing the math, if you think about American society, we have over 300 million people. The Super Bowl is our biggest sporting event, 120-ish million watch.
Right.
There's nothing in our society, not the Friends finale. Nope. There's nothing that will get
close.
That many people to watch
nope.
a television event. So when you talk about the old school franchises and the Canadian teams, it means so much up there.
60% of Canadian TVs were tuned into Connor McDavid's church confirmation. So
Wayne Gretzky's wedding, true story, was on national TV.
Sure
him,
it was.
Janet Jones, true no, story.
That is crazy. And I'm sure, yes. yeah, it's like a royal family.
Patrick Waugh going to Tim Hortons had 70 million.
No, it's... it is.
True story again. Brian Gionta, American kid,
yep.
was the captain of the Canadiens. I said, what was that like? He said it was like being a Kardashian.
Yes.
There you have it.
We go to the Montreal Comedy Festival every year. Every year that the last several years we've gone. And that city is.
How about the gala we did? Whose gala was it?
The guy from the, now we're forgetting his name, the great P.K. Subban.
So
P.K. Subban.
He's awesome.
So, I mean, he was.
One of my favorites.
Right. Was there a better guy to be the Canadian? Like, he hosted this gala event.
In front of 3,000
people. When he was traded. And the Canadians were so mad. The fans there were so mad that this guy they love so much, this captain.
Who was like raising millions of dollars for a hospital and he's funny on stage and he's doing sketches.
They were so mad that they were losing him to Nashville.
He donated $10 million to a children's hospital.
That's it.
And this guy, I had dinner with him once at the Cup Final. Here's what I'm thinking. The Cup Final is our Super Bowl World Series. You
right.
get it.
Yep.
The guy was so down to earth.
Totally.
So cool. So normal. and yet superhuman in the same way that we talk about as far as the enabling that goes on in other sports that creates athletes that kind of feel like they don't necessarily get it. In hockey, there's a humility that's built in because mm-hmm. the goal that won the Stanley Cup last night was scored by a guy who was on a line he would not have been on were it not for Alex Killorn's injury.
Mm-hmm.
So you need everybody.
Every guy, every single guy. You need
them. You literally need everybody. Now, in the NBA Finals, I think about LeBron. Mm-hmm. There was an Eastern Conference final game against the Pistons back in the day.
Yep.
I want to say the 07 Cavs, where he had like 25 of the last 27 points.
Yep.
The guys at the end of the Cavs bench, he didn't need them.
No.
They didn't need them.
Anderson,
in hockey,
yeah, you need
you
everybody.
Need everybody.
Dude, Pat Maroon. Pat Maroon has been on the last three Cup champions. Am I right?
Historic.
Incredible. So yeah. You're like, what is Pat Maroon bringing to his teams in terms of leadership, in terms of corralling guys, in terms of you listen to him interviewed. It's like, are you alive, man? Someone check his pulse. He sounds like he's dead. Pat Maroon has like a calmness to him that like maybe that's the thing that you bring to it. That's the special sauce.
He played for John Cooper when he was younger and Coop was younger and they were at a lower level. And Coop knew
this
what
guy's a winner.
Maroon brought.
Yeah.
He's a winner. It's the pulse is both at 72 all the time.
Uh-huh.
And then when you need to lighten the mood in the room. I mean, this Tampa team went through some adversity. Obviously, the idea of playing the whole regular season without your most potent scorer, Nikita Kucherov.
Yeah.
Not easy. They finished third in their division. But it reminded me of Usain Bolt. Remember in the heats in the Olympics?
Yeah.
He would just kind of glide.
That's right. He would just make it.
And then it would be the
final. Yeah, and it's like and it turns it on. Turns on the Jets.
By daylight.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. Because he was. That's what the Lightning did. And it's not a rope-a-dope. It's just we got to pace ourselves because 9 months ago we were playing for the
season.
Cup.
Yeah, but
and
you,
because of the condensed schedule of 56 games, they had to think this thing through and not floor it. That, again, is John Cooper recognizing the pacing that needs to happen. They call it load management now.
In the
but
NBA,
you and I have
that's right.
always recognized that there's value in there, – there's a reason pitchers don't pitch every day.
That's right.
No, that's right. And I think to go back to the point about it being a team sport, there is not a moment in any hockey game that I've ever seen in my almost 50 years on this earth where all the players on one team clear out so that one guy can go one-on-one with a guy who's defending him and try to take it to the net.
There is no isolation
ball. There is no isolation
right. puck.
That doesn't exist. So the point of hockey is to move the puck faster to your teammates. It's passing. Passing is the goal. It's can I move this puck around faster than that guy can defend it? And then by its very nature, it's a team sport. It has to be. And I think that's why.
Yes, Savard was just as much a part of that winning goal the other night as the guy who tipped it in. It's literally like his pass was everything.
And Savard was a trade deadline acquisition. He played for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Mike Rupp, I work with him. He was the last rookie to have the cup clinching goal in a Stanley Cup final game. That was 2003, and he was a rookie. Mm-hmm. And the idea that you can get that kind of contribution in a moment of that gravity just blows me away.
Huge.
Like my knees were knocking. When I was a team manager at UCLA, we had a practice at the 95 Final Four, and the Kingdom, it was open, free. So like, there were tens of thousands of people just watching us practice.
Right.
Just being watched by that many people makes me nervous. Talking on TV is not as hard as people think it is. You're just in a room and there's a
right. There's a camera
lens
in your face and you just have to be focused. But yeah, in
it's
front
like
of
what
those,
we're doing.
Right. In front of those people, the Tyus Edneys of this world, it's not a big deal for them.
Exactly. Exactly. I talked to Ken Danico about it because his son is a singer.
Yeah.
And Dano won 3 cups, obviously, with the Devils and works with us at NHL Network, does a fabulous job. Dano, his son sang the anthem and Dano was nervous for him. Mm. His son wasn't nervous at all. Same exact point that we're talking about. It's
Take your reps.
Amazing.
Take your reps and walk out there and you know what you're doing. All right, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we've got three stories. We could talk to you forever, Tony Loughman. You are amazing. Your analysis is incredible. We got three stories in the world of sports we're going to cover with you that aren't hockey related. But of course, you're a man of many. You're a renaissance man in the world of sports. You know all subjects. And you can riff with us on anything. Tony Loughman is with us. We'll be right back with more of you from the Cheap Seats right after this. All through the morning rain, I guess the sun doesn't shine. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. We want to remind people we have a Patreon that is now up and running, and Tony Loughman's going to be psyched about this. For all you fans of Cheap Seats, our show that we did on ESPN Classic.
I'm one of them.
We have not done new episodes until now. Just for our Patreon fans, we are figuring out and we're doing it. We just recorded a slap fight. A slap fight in Branson, Missouri. It could have been between Yakov Smirnoff and his costume.
Are you
design.
Kidding me? Slap. Are you kidding?
Slap fight
in Russia.
And so we get
slap slaps you.
Hand slaps you. We did that, and we're gonna do a new one every month. So all you got to do is look up Sklar Brothers, look up Patreon.com, look up Sklar Brothers, and you can join. $5 a month, you get a new Cheap Seats episode plus. And we'll do this with Tony a little bit later on this show. Ask him a question that only the Patreon fans can get the answer to. So it's extra audio. It's that. We're going to put in some extra kind of like, remember our old daily show that we were doing? A little bit of those. All good. So check that out. And Tony Loughman, a great follow on Twitter, at Tony Loughman. Am I right?
I have a $20 bill. The first 4 months I'm in, I'm doing this once we're done.
Great. I love it.
I'm so glad you guys are doing this. That's great.
For the fans, we knew we had to do it. And let's get it. We know our time is valuable here. Let's get into some quick hits right now.
I want to talk about the NBA Finals. Torrey Craig is the only player who, at this point, has nothing to lose.
He's got nothing to lose. He plays for the Phoenix Suns. He was traded by the Milwaukee Bucks to the Phoenix Suns.
So he gets a ring either way.
Because there is a thing that says if you play for a team and contribute to it, then you can get the ring. So if Milwaukee wins, he gets a ring. If Phoenix wins, he gets a ring. What does he have to run back on defense for? I ask you, Tony Loughman.
He should just stand at midcourt.
Right?
Yeah. Then it's back to hockey. It's a power play, 5-on-4.
That's right. I don't know if I'm like, hey, let's design this play for Torrey Craig. No.
No.
He doesn't care. Yes, we can win, but if we lose, who cares? Like, he's not that, and that is, and when we talk about this is really the important thing. You watch these athletes play on such a high level. The focus, the attention to detail in that moment has to be, your eyes get like, they dilate to such a place that regular people can't understand. You're seeing things in microseconds. Is Torrey Craig going to be that invested in it? I don't think he even enters the team high five anymore. Am I right?
I love this story.
Right?
But I would be remiss. Mm. I worked for the Portland Trailblazers from 07 to 09. Mm. Monty Williams was one of our assistant coaches.
Amazing. He's an awesome
not
coach.
To bring it, not to create a sinker here, but everybody has to know this.
Yeah.
Those that don't know, he went through an unspeakable tragedy.
Yeah. Yes,
not
he
that
did.
Basketball can heal, mm-mm. But I root for him.
Always.
Always, because he is such a genuine, humble, loving, sincere person.
Yep.
And he lost his wife, and it was one of the worst things to happen since I've been alive to anyone in sports. And there were questions as to whether he would come back to basketball, and he was so well respected. So I'm rooting so hard for the Suns.
Right.
I've never rooted this hard. Even when I was a Lakers fan growing up as a kid, I didn't get the big picture of life. What that guy's been through.
Yep. He deserves something good. And you listen to him like give that sort of I'm 20 feet away from you and I can't hear a damn word you're saying interview, even though we're all double vaxxed and I'm in three masks and you're way over there holding a freaking boom mic trying to get to me. But he, even in those interviews, I just sense there's like a, you like want to be friends with the guy. You're like, there's a calmness to him. And I think it's born out of what you just talked about, that he has lived a life, that the pressure of this situation right now is maybe so much pressure that it's caused causing some people to pop veins in their heads, but he's just going to be calm about it.
His perspective is so good. He's a man of such strong faith. And as a member of the media, you appreciate the guys who are pros. And by pro, obviously, it could be defined as someone who gets paid to play.
Right.
Not every athlete, coach, etc., is easy to interview, accessible, has a pleasant way about them, whether they win or lose. Monty Williams, 100% of the time, was a pro's pro when it came to working alongside him.
That's great.
He's one of the good guys. So if you're neutral on this,
root for this guy,
not just in this series, but forever
in life.
Phoenix Suns.
I mean, and again,
Barkley's not on the team. Ainge. I know. This is not Cedric Ceballos.
Thunder Dan
else was on the 93.
Thunder Dan Marley. Thunder Dan Marley.
Tom Chambers.
Tom Chambers. Tom Gugliotta. The ghost of Gugliotta.
Yes.
By the way, the ghost of Gugliotta does sound like a children's show, right? Yes. On Disney XD. Honey, we've got episodes of the Ghost
and the Wizards of Waverly Place.
The Wizards of Waverly Place, followed by the Ghosts of Gugliotta.
I want Chris Corciani on there.
Yes. Oh my God, Chris Corciani. Who is the guy from
Tom Chambers?
No, who's the guy? John Crotty. That was another one.
Yes.
I was like,
left-handed guy from
From Virginia.
Virginia.
UVA John Crotty, who was the John Gotti of the of the NBA.
Right, gone, he disappeared.
White and gone too soon.
Let's move on. Poor Michael Strahan. We talked about this on the Rome show.
Yeah, Michael Strahan, I believe it has to be so nice because of how crazy his ex-wife is. He is the nicest guy. Jay and I met him in person. I don't know if you've ever met him, but he's the nicest guy. Okay, Strahan is like legitimately nice.
So his ex-wife, Jean Strahan, had a restraining order against her ex-girlfriend.
So she's now run through Strahan and an ex-girlfriend. And that's the point at which Strahan's like, hey, honey, why don't you go back to your maiden name?
Yeah. maybe stop calling yourself Strahan.
No need dragging my name through the mud.
So she has a restraining order against her from this woman. She shows up at this woman's apartment
and threatens her with a toy gun, a kid's gun, and she kicks her German Shepherd, which we were like, kicking the German Shepherd is just...
It does sound like a euphemism.
It sounds like a...
like the corporate speak.
Let's not kick the German Shepherd on this one, guys.
Guys,
we are not in support of this and don't think it's funny that any animal that gets kicked... But at this point, you're like, Michael Strahan has to be so nice to everybody just so that people know that, like, look, it's her, not me.
So one of the people that does makeup where I work does makeup. She's Michael Strahan's, like, personal makeup artist,
right.
Mm-hmm.
So she's been around him early mornings, late nights, throughout. What your perception is of him, having met him, is 100% right.
He's the nicest.
I've asked, the nicest guy. And like, I think that's how you land 7,000 jobs
in
the entertainment industry.
Oh yeah.
There are people that don't know that he was a standout defensive lineman and the sacks record and Super Bowl rings.
Unstoppable.
That to me is where you really transcend.
Right.
The story about the ex-wife is terrifying.
It's crazy. He had to live with that. Thank God he got out of it.
I don't know why bad things happen to good people.
That's right.
But I know this. He's a good person, and
you
that's
hope.
Inexcusable. It's unspeakably terrible.
It's terrible.
He kicked a dog.
You don't kick a German Shepherd.
Even as Jews, I'm like, don't kick a German Shepherd.
As Jews, we have a problem with that.
Brutal.
I don't know if you heard the story about Keith Hernandez.
But Keith Hernandez did not show up for an SNY broadcast because he was, in his words, he was pruning his rose bush over his hot tub. He slipped and fell.
Off the corner of the hot tub, and he got stitches in his toe from the pruning shears.
And couldn't show up. I'm like, pick one excuse. Keith, it's like there's too many details.
details.
Dude, you beat a cocaine rap.
Yeah.
With your Seinfeld appearance.
You beat you saying that women don't belong in the dugout when a massage therapist
high-five Mike Piazza in 2005.
In San Diego.
You're like, still announcing it. And hire somebody to do your gardening.
Right?
I didn't know about this story, and the first thing I'm going to do after I get to work, after we're done, is I'm going to research this story.
You have to.
And I cannot believe. This is unbelievable. All of it.
All of it.
Is unbelievable.
But who is in Keith's hot tub and says, you know what we really need a better view of here? Your rose bush.
Go. Why don't you start pruning that
Grow
thing?
It up above this thing so it's hanging down so we can... But who's telling
let me put a Let me put a bush that has many thorns right near right the thing near I'm going to be getting in and out of a
where
lot.
People with showing a lot of skin could scrape against them. Every single thing is a bad decision, Keith.
Was the song Every Rose Has Its Thorn?
Maybe!
Poison playing in the background.
Maybe!
Yes!
Maybe.
That's the only thing that could add to the story to make it more
If that was playing in the... That's right.
I'm Hernandez, like,
come
man.
On, Keith. Come on.
Keith and Andy, there was this... When we were in St. Louis growing up, there was a little... Chinese restaurant
owned by a girl, a woman from our, who's now a woman, but a girl in our neighborhood, her parents. It was called the Peking Inn, which I think is such a cute name for a, we're just peeking in.
It's adorable.
So great. And it had the tiniest bar ever, Tony. I'm telling you, it was a bar and two stools. And it's in our neighborhood. It's right next to Weber Chevrolet in St. Louis, Missouri, right near...
It wasn't in a hip part of town.
It was sandwiched
between a bank...
And a car dealership, a Chevrolet dealership. And it's just tiny in a strip mall.
And we're sitting in this, and we come in, and we're waiting for our table, I think, to go in and sit down. And our mom, there's a guy with in a mustache, like, you know, sitting across this, like, nine-foot room. And our mom's like, that's Keith Hernandez. And we're like, it's not Keith Hernandez. You know how you think you know more than your mom when you're nine.
You're like, it's not.
She's
it's
like,
not,
that is Keith
not.
Hernandez.
We're like, it
we're
is
like
not,
you don't know sports.
It's not
woman.
Keith Hernandez. So he's 9 feet away because this bar is tiny. And he sees us saying,
and
it's
hears
not,
us.
It's not. It's not. It's not. And he calls us over.
He's like, it is Keith Hernandez.
And
I am
he
Keith
signs his name. On our dad gave him a check deposit slip, and he signed his name on it for us, and then he gave us just a tiny baggie of cocaine.
Just a little bump of cocaine.
No, he did not. But it just is crazy that, like, in
what is he
doing
at the
hanging out at the
alone?
Alone at the Peking Inn. I was like, this guy is not going to be here much longer.
alone at the Peking Inn could be his autobiography.
Keith Hernandez, alone at the Peking Inn.
You remember the first time you saw The Usual Suspects?
Yes.
That's what just happened to me.
Yeah.
The way that story was going, the Peking Inn, I thought it was going to be like, Keith Hernandez, after all, is a good guy. Then you got to the very end. Because you're master storytellers.
He got it. We put Kaiser Soze. And then he starts limping and he becomes Keith Hernandez.
Oh my gosh, he picked him up.
I love it. And Tony Loughman, thank you so much for joining us on View from the Cheap Seats. We will follow you. We will watch you. NHL Network. It's at Tony Loughman on Twitter. Am I right?
Correct.
We already follow you. I want everyone to follow him. He is fantastic. Just a wealth of knowledge. We love having you on. We'll have you on as the new season fires up. It's what we're realizing with this show is when you get the experts on who really know what they're talking about
and love what they're talking about.
It's almost like learning lines for you're in a TV show. Once you learn all the lines, then you can spread out and have fun. And there's nobody we like to have fun more with than you. Thanks so much, buddy. Thanks for joining the show.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Awesome.
Oh, Tony Loughman, I love him.
I love him
so
much.
You
got
to join the Patreon if you want to hear what he had to say.
What was his favorite sport? Before we go, we teased it before. Chris Kristofferson, look, it's hockey. We talked hockey. There's some great fights in hockey.
Fight.
There was a great fight that almost happened, but Toby Keith was too much of a pussy that he wouldn't fight him. But here's the story as it went down in Chris Kristofferson's eyes. He left us a voicemail.
Hey, boys. How's it going? It's your boy, Chris. Chris Kristofferson. And a lot of people are letting me know that apparently I had a birthday last week. Apparently I turned 85 years old, but they say you're only as old as you feel. And I gotta tell you, boys, I feel 145 years old. But, you know, some stories are coming out about me, specifically about one when I was 70 years old, and a young Toby Keith and I were doing some sort of benefit concert, also with one Willie Nelson, the Lord and Savior Willie Nelson himself. And apparently, Toby Keith then turned to me and said, "Hey, none of that lefty shit on stage tonight." Into which I then fully lost all of my faculties. And I told that young whippersnapper to shut the fuck up. I got all riled up. I told him, and this is a direct quote, "Have you ever killed a man?" Because I have warned the countries. I have served this country, and I have killed people. And you know what? That changes a man. And it changed me. And in a way that I never know. You know, my name, here's a hard fact. My name's not Chris Christopherson, but I can't tell you what my real name is. One, because I can't remember. And two, because fucking war changes people, guys. That's real. So then, apparently what happened next was, is after I threatened to, I told him to shut up unless he had killed someone or actually served this country, because he's always singing about America and all this stuff, proud to be an American and all this bullshit. And he then, I apparently then said something to the effect of, you know what Waylon Jennings said about guys like him, talking about Waylon, Toby Keith. And I apparently said, "They're doing the country music what pantyhose did to finger fucking." Now that does sound like something I would say, because if there's one thing I do love, I don't know if I would say finger fucking, I do love, you know, gently touching a woman, you know, or a man. I've gone both ways, because this is America that we live in, and I fought and killed people for this country, so I feel like I can finger touch anybody who I want, you know. I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, I'm currently right now outside of a Denny's in Butte, Montana, and I could very well be touching someone in their privates, but I don't know specifically, because I've been on a peyote binge since May 14th. So, boys, I probably need to go to a hospital. So if I've actually been leaving you a voicemail and not just talking into a drive-in box outside of a wiener schnitzel, then, you know, you should probably send somebody up here to Butte, Montana to come take me in, because I need help. But, you know, blessed 4th of July, happy birthday, America, and happy birthday to you, Chris Christopherson. Oh, shit, that's me. All right, bye, boys.
Woo, boy. I don't know what to believe, but I'm going to believe him right there. That's how it goes. That is a show. You guys have a great weekend. Enjoy the NBA Finals as you're watching those. I think this Sunday is going to be England. We'll talk about this next week. England, Italy, in the Euros at Wembley. It's going to be incredible. If you're a soccer fan, your mind's blown right now about how great that's going to be. And then we'll be around next week, the All-Star Game, and then we kind of get into the dark days of sports. But, hey, we'll find the stories.
NFL around the corner, college football starting up at the end of the month. There's a lot to be excited about as we barrel towards the fall, and hopefully full stadiums, and hopefully
Can't wait. You guys are the best. Thank you for joining the Patreon. Those who did, you really need to if you haven't yet. We're out. Love you guys.
Punch waterfalls.
A podcast network.